Today, I would like to. We are very fortunate to have His Grace speaker, His Grace Sukumar Gaurdas Prabhuji today to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, and verses 10 to 13. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for. Should I go ahead, Mataji?
Yeah, Deepni Mataji can give introduction, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji was born in Maharashtra, India in 1980. Brought up in a social background where spirituality was often questioned, he developed a natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Prabhuji passed College of Engineering, Pune, Engineering in 2003. He came in touch with the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in 2003 and found all his questions answered in the books of Srila Prabhupada. As an MBA student of finance, he studied Srila Prabhupada's books and became a sincere practitioner. He joined the NCDEX, National Commodities and Derivatives Exchange, Mumbai, as an assistant manager and worked for 3 years. Later, he took on a 2-year brahmachari training course at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Mumbai and was initiated into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji always wanted to share his joy for Krishna consciousness with the youth, so he gave up his job and began serving in the youth preaching department. He joined ISKCON Chaupati as a resident in 2009, and later he was posted to the ISKCON Nasik Temple. He is serving as a youth counselor in various colleges in Nasik. He conducts seminars on personality development topics in educational and corporate sectors. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for your beautiful association. Thank you for being here with us today.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji. I would be giving a audio class because we are under quarantine as of now. So we don't have a strong Wi-Fi network here. I'm giving it from my mobile. So kindly excuse me for that. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 5th, chapter number 5 from text number 10 to 13. So we'll read one shloka and then we'll read the translation and purport. The text number 10 is Hamse Gurur Mai Bhaktya Nuvritya Vitrishnaya Dvanvati Tikshaya Cha Sarvatra Jantor Vyasana Vagatya Jitnya Saya Tapase Ha Nivritya. Then we'll read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramhamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the dualities of pleasure and pain, which are like seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of the living entities who are miserable even in higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kind of austerities and penance for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind and senses. Have full faith in revealed scriptures, the Vedic literature, and always observe celibacy. perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talk. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In these four verses, Rishabhdev tells his son how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditioned life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Shri Guru Padashray. To be freed from the entanglement of material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad vijnanartham saguru meva abhigachyet. By questioning the spiritual master and serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally, the attraction for personal comfort for eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotees, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Maddeva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods. But here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. Another important item is Dvandvati Tiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Tam Sthitiksha Svabharata, one has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pain and pleasure of this material world. One must be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to scriptural injunction, is also accepted as brahmacharya celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up material entanglement of material bondage. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of this fourth shloka is that one should refrain from acting out of desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the loving service of the Lord. In other words, Bhakti Yoga is acknowledged path of liberation. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Adhyatma, Atmano Avitam Karma, Varjayitvanya Karmanaha, Kamasya Cha Prati Parityago Nirithye Ahuruttama. One should perform duties for the benefit of the soul and other activities should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, the living entity cannot be totally desireless, but when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Spiritual knowledge is Jnana Vijnana Samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with Jnana and Vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Lord Godhead Vishnu to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activity that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, Jnanam Param Guhyame Yad Vijnana Samanvita. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him further the liberation of all living entities. This knowledge is Vijnana as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti swarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshunun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Nvaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminath Namini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langati giram yat kripatamam vande shri guru dinataranam shri chaitanyeshwaram paramam. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for this Srimad Bhagavatam session. I am so grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam. So grateful to all of you. So we are reading from the chapter, fifth canto, fifth chapter, entitled Lord Rishabhdev's Teaching to His Son. I'll just give a quick recap till this shloka, and then we'll come to the 10th shloka. In the first shloka, in the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his sons, he's saying that you need not work hard for sense enjoyment, since it is available in all forms of body. Rather, you should take to what? You should try to achieve that which is not achieved, easily achieved in the human form. That is Brahma Sukham Anantam, unending spiritual happiness. Now, how to do this? He's saying Sattvam Shuddhayati. You have to purify the heart. How? Tapo Divyam. By performing austerities in relationship to Shri Krishna. Prabhupada gives an example how the trees are also performing austerities. But that is not a divya tapa. So you have to perform a tapasya in relationship to Lord Krishna. Then it becomes a divya tapa. The second shloka is saying the human form is a junction. You can rise from here or you can fall from here. So it depends upon what? It depends upon your association. Yoshit Sanghi Sangha is one kind of association, and Mahat Seva, an association with the highly elevated devotees of the Lord. So if you have Yoshit Sanghi Sangha, that association, you will fall into hellish conditions. And if you do Mahat Seva, then you will be liberated from this. So the entire rising or falling in this human form of life depends upon your association. Just like if we have key and a lock. Lock has one key, but it's turning to one side will lock. It will lock it, and one side turning will open the lock. So key is one. So the activities are same, but in which direction you turn it, for whom you are doing, if you're doing it for yourself, then it will be like locking it means you'll be falling into the lower species. But if you turn it on the other side, if you take the other kind of association, it is like liberating yourself. Just like the lock opens. So where you associate is what your destination will be. And then we have different words that are being used for the devotees, because there are two types of devotees, as Prabhupada writes in the purport. One is the impersonalist, the Brahmavadis, and others are the those who worship Lord Krishna in a personal form. So different words are used, and then accordingly different realizations are achieved. Then in the third shloka, he is saying, what is the goal of a devotee? So the goal of a personalist is reviving his Krishna consciousness. And what is the artha? The artha is he wants to achieve love for Krishna. Va is the word that Prabhupada explains it, saying that he is indifferent to everything else. His life is only and only focused up around reviving his dormant Krishna consciousness and increasing his love for Lord Krishna. But Prabhupada also mentions that at the same time, he is not that indifferent that he becomes casual in other duties. Prabhupada says, at the same time, he performs his duties expertly. Means he is having a balance between his spiritual duties and his material duties. He is doing it because he wants to maintain his body, which is an instrument for achieving what he has thought of achieving, that is reviving his Krishna consciousness. Then in the fourth shloka, shloka number two is further explained. The Yoshit Sanghi Sangha, the kind of people, he is feeling sad for those kind of people. So what are they doing? They are acting exclusively for enjoying their senses. And in doing that, what do? They engage in sinful activities. And what is the sinful activities? At times they are encroaching on the share of other people, and hence they are increasing their own sufferings in that. Then Rishabhdev is feeling sad for them, because the present body in itself is giving so much of suffering, and this body has been achieved because of the past sin. And in this present body, they are increasing their sinful propensities, and hence they are creating one more body. So Prabhupada says that Jiva has nothing to do with this material body, because he is completely separate from this matter. And just to fulfill his desire, the nature has given him this body. But in this body, what we need to do is what he has told in the last shloka. In the fifth shloka, he says, then what to do? Should the Jiva perform pious activities? Rishabhdev says, no, you need not perform pious activities, because pious or impious, both kind of activities will lead to creating a new kind of body. If you do good, you'll have to get it repaid by others in terms of good. If you do bad, you have to get repaid in terms of bad. So what is the solution? He says that knowledge is the solution for that, because knowledge will destroy the propensity to sin. Now, the point is, why does the Jiva then perform the karma? Because of ajnana, his ignorance, he is performing activities for his sense enjoyment. So as soon as the Jiva inquires about his cause of suffering, his ignorance is destroyed. Prabhupada quotes 4.37 saying, Jnanagni sarva karmanam basmasat kurute Arjuna. So the fire of knowledge will burn the desire to act in the improper way. And till one performs pious or impious action, his mind will be absorbed in action and will create new body. So this fire of knowledge helps him stop acting in a wrong way and take to the proper actions that are required to liberate him. The sixth shloka is the most important shloka, because most of the time, people from other organization or those who are practicing some other means to achieve liberation or mukti or getting out of this material maya, for them this shloka has to be understood very properly. The sixth shloka is saying, how long will the jiva have to keep on taking these bodies? So this shloka is very important, and for us also to understand. If some devotees are asking, I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for last 30 years, 40 years, 45 years. So does that mean that I'll be having no more bodies in future? Is this my last birth? There is a criteria that is hidden in this shloka, which Lord Rishabhdev is speaking. Evam manak karma vasham prayunte avidyaya atmanya upardemana. Pritirnayavat mai vasudeve namuchet deha yogena tavat. He's saying that pritirnayavat, what is the criteria for breaking this cycle of repeated birth and death? He's saying pritirnayavat mai vasudeve, till the time you have priti, love for me, Lord Vasudev, namuchet deha, you will not be able to break this cycle of birth and death. So what is the criteria for breaking the cycle of birth and death? You need to have love for Lord Krishna, Lord Vasudev, Lord Ram, Lord Vishnu. Till the time you have that love, you will not, na muchyeta deha yogena tavat. Till that, tavat means so long, till that time you will not be able to, na muchyeta, you will not be delivered from this cycle of birth and death. So whatever yoga process you may be practicing, but the point is it giving rise to preeti to Lord Vasudev? Is it giving rise to love for Lord Vasudev? If not, then you have to consider this, that you are on the wrong track. And till the time there is preeti for Lord Vasudev, the mind will remain polluted by fruitive activities, and the chain will not break, since fruitive activities will lead to one more body. So how to break this chain? That is where Lord Rishabhdev is bringing the devotees into picture. The association of devotees is so important, because association of devotees will give him the Bhakti Lata Beach, and when he waters that Bhakti Lata Beach with this nine processes, Bhakti will arise. Then after Bhakti is arisen, there will be no more karma vasana, and his subtle body will be dissolved. Then the seventh shloka, he is saying, what are the difficulties in reaching the stage of bhakti? So in rising from immature to a mature stage, there are so many shades in between. And the major challenge, he is saying in the seventh shloka, Pramatta, that Jiva is mad after what? Vaitunya Agara. He is mad after fulfilling his lusty propensities. Now the eighth shloka says, what does the lust do? The eighth shloka is saying that lust creates a strong attraction between a male and a female. And what is that strong attraction leading to? The thought that this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my house, this is my paraphernalia. And this attraction will create a knot in that heart that is called as Hridaya Granthi. And that Granthi only and only keeps growing stronger and stronger with the passage of time. So it doesn't dissolve automatically. You have to work on breaking that Granthi. Now the ninth shloka is saying how one can be liberated from this bondage. Then two things are given: association of sadhus and the practice of sadhana. And the sadhana will lead him to jnana and vairagya. But in this entire process, there is one thing that is the root cause of the entire episode. The root cause that is in highlighted here is the ahankar. The root cause of suffering is the ahankar. And then the real question comes, what is the way in which this ahankar or the subtle body can be destroyed or dissolved? Then from shloka 10 to 13, which is the shloka for our discussion today, they are saying, Lord Rishabh Dev is saying, pure devotional service is the only best means for destroying the subtle body or dissolving the subtle body. And it includes this list of different items that have been given that will help the sadhaka to destroy the root cause of his suffering, that is ahankar or the false ego. So I'll just repeat the elements that are given here. First, he is saying that devotion to Sri Guru, you have to accept a bona fide spiritual master. And that faith in Sri Guru is equal to your faith in Sri Krishna. Because Krishna will test your faith in him based on your faith in the words of your spiritual master. Second, he says, detest sense gratification. Means gradually you have to overcome this tendency for sense enjoyment. Third thing he says, tolerate the dualities, the pain and the pleasure, which are like the seasonal changes. Fourth, by understanding the suffering of other living beings, you have to understand that suffering is an inevitable part of this material creation. Even though you may be staying in the higher planetary systems. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna. He's saying right from the lowest patal to the highest brahmalok is all places of suffering. You have to come to this conclusion at last. Fifth, he's saying philosophically inquiring about the truth. That is the Supreme Lord and the process to achieve the Supreme Lord, that is bhakti. Then the process, you have to undergo austerities and penances. Then you have to listen to Harikatha, chant and hear the glories of Lord Krishna. Then the eighth is saying, look upon every individual soul equally on the spiritual platform. Ninth is saying, control anger and lamentation. 10th, have a desire to give up identity with your, identifying yourself with your house, your family members. 11th, he is saying, practice reading scriptures. 12th, living in a secluded place and practice the process of Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, whichever path you are following. Have full faith in the Shastras. Always observe celibacy. 15th, perform prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. 16th, always think of Lord Krishna and acquire knowledge of Krishna from the right source. Now, these are the 20 parameters which Lord Rishabh Dev is saying. And look at what Prabhupada has given us. All this is given in just the 11 shlokas of Nectar of Instruction. That is the genius of Sri Rupa Goswami. That all these things are very well explained, elaborately explained in the 11 shlokas. So that is the genius of Srila Rupa Goswami in giving us Bhakti Rasamrit, Sindhu and Upadeshamrit, both these literatures. Now let's come to having a look at what Lord Rishabhdev has been saying in this most important four shlokas. Because the point is that we have to come to a point where our subtle body is getting dissolved, or we are being able to give up that subtle body. And the main constituent which is holding us back is our ahankar. And this Krishna has beautifully explained in 3.27, where he says, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So this is the wonderful shloka which we have to somehow or the other understand. What is it that is manyate? What is it that we are believing in? What are we believing in? Karta, aham, I am the doer. Now, what is it that is making us think that I am the doer? When Krishna is saying prakriti kriyamanani, everything is done by the prakriti herself. It is the ahankar that makes us vimudatma, not mudatma, vimudatma, vishishta rupena muda, super foolish. How does this make us so foolish that we can't understand that everything has been done by the nature and we are just an observer? So, if you search on the internet, there is something called as a Stanford Prison Experiment. There is a movie, blockbuster movie that was made on this experiment, which was conducted in the Stanford University, US. And they did an experiment of psychology to see the effect of perceived powers. You know, what is this perceived power? They divided the students in two different groups. And they gave one group of students to act as policemen and others as prisoners. Now they were first hand told that, sir, you just have to act. You don't have to get into it. Just have to act. And we'll be observing you through our cameras. They said, okay. And they were paid for that on a daily basis. Now, the police, those who chose to be police, were given dress and the police rod and the cap and the belt and the shoes, everything they were given. And the soldiers and the prisoners were given the dress of the prisoners. And they say, okay, now you start. And everybody was just into one thing, that how can I impress the research team? How I can act by doing acting better? And this experiment got it was being supposed to be done for 15 days. 1 day passed, second day passed, third day passed, fourth, fifth, and on the sixth day these experimenters were forced to stop this experiment. Why? Because it had taken a very different turn. What had happened was, in some hours, when these people were told to act as policemen, just by wearing that dress and having some basic instructions on acting as a policeman, they started considering themselves as policemen and they started behaving like that. They started beating the prisoners. They started becoming physical with them. They were shouting at them. They were yelling at them. They were asking them to behave in a certain manner which was pleasing to them. And it became so violent, that on the sixth day itself, they were told to stop this. This is called as the effect of perceived power. They were not policemen, but they perceived themselves as policemen or as prisoners. And who makes us perceive this? This is nothing but this ahankar vimudatma, this ahankar, this false ego makes us believe, makes us perceive, I am rich, I am poor, I am in pain, I am in pleasure. Everything has been, I am sick, I am happy, I am healthy. Everything comes right from this ahankar, and that is where Krishna is saying, this ahankar makes us vimudatma, it makes us fool. It makes us perceive things which are not real. Krishna is clearly saying Prakriti Kriyamanani, everything has been done by the Prakriti. But just by adding the factor that no, I am doing it, he becomes the doer and the sufferer of all his activities. That is the effect of perceived powers, which has been given by the false ego. And that is why the false ego is so powerful and the last one to get dissolved. That is the power of false ego, which can make somebody feel, I am sick, I am great, I am poor, I am not good, I am not this, I am not that. Even though when we are not like that, it makes us perceive things in a certain manner. And that is why shloka after shloka, right from 2nd chapter to the 18th chapter, and so many times Krishna is speaking of this false ego. Vihaya kamanya sarman pumans chartanasvya nirmamo nirahankara. Only when you give up this ahankara, so shanti madhi gachyati, only then you will be peaceful in your life. 13.67, Krishna says the field of activities and his interaction is based on false ego. 13.8-12, Krishna says what is knowledge? He brings an ahankara. Being free from false ego is the 20 components of knowledge. He is saying an ahankara. You have to relieve yourself from this false ego. Nirmamo, nirahankara, samo dukkha sukham kshami. Who is dear to me? 12.13 and 14, Krishna is saying one who is nirmamo and nirahankara, free from false ego. Because this false ego is just like an intoxicant. 16.18, Krishna says, Ahankara, Balam Darpa, Kamam Krodham Cha Samshritaha. Bewildered by false ego, these demons become envious to me. We start seeing Krishna as our competitor exclusively because of this Ahankara. Because it doesn't allow us to see things as they are. So we need someone who can bring us out of this stage of intoxication so that we can see things clearly. And that is the power of this ahankar, which Rishabh Devi is saying that we somehow or the other have to get freed from this. Yesterday was Ram Navami. So I'll cite some examples taking this one point of dissolving false ego. And the first point which Rishabh Devi is saying is you should accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master, Guru Padashraya. Why is this so important in dissolving this false ego? So in Ramayana, when Sita, Ram, Lakshman, they are dropped on the other side of the river by Kevat. You know the famous story of Kevat. He washes the feet of Lord Ram and drinks the water. Then Lord Ram is dropped on the other side, and from that side starts the forest. And as soon as the forest starts, Lord Ram hints to Lakshmana, saying that, see, this is a dangerous forest. We are new to this forest. We have to be very, very careful, because this is the place of ferocity. And then Lord Ram is walking ahead, Mother Sita, and followed by Lord Lakshman. And as they are moving, suddenly some things catch attention of Lord Ram. And immediately Lord Ram pulls Mother Sita aside and shows her something. What is Lord Ram intrigued by in this dense forest? Then Lord Ram pulls Mother Sita attention towards the dense shrubs. There is a black wasp that is flying unsteadily. Just like when a person is drunk, he cannot handle himself. He is moving in n number of directions at the same time. So this wasp was moving something like a drunkard person. But at the same time, he was following somebody. No, this was not one wasp. There was many other wasps that were moving from one side to another, but they were following somebody. And then Lord Ram tells to Mother Sita, you know what is happening here? Then Mother Sita says, no, I don't know. But they are behaving in some erratic manner. And Lord Ram says, yes. Why are they behaving like this? Because they had an overdose of nectar. And due to that overdose of nectar, they have lost their sobriety and they are not able to keep their eyes open. Oh, that is where Mata's, when Sita, she sees this, she starts laughing hysterically. And then she asked Lord Ram, what have they to do to reach their destination? Then Lord Ram says, for them to reach their destination is very easy. Can you see one wasp moving ahead in a straight direction? She says, yes, I can see him. And Lord Ram says that if this wasp who have had an overdose of nectar, if they follow him by hearing his buzzing, it is easy for them to reach their destination. Similarly, all the jivas like us who are drunken due to this false ego or overcome by false ego, we can't keep our eyes open because we are so intoxicated that we can't see the reality. We have lost our sobriety. What is the hope for us to return back home? We have to find one sober wasp who is like the guru. And by the buzzing sound that he creates, which is the Harikatha, if we just follow that Harikatha, we will safely and surely reach back to our destinations, back home, back to Godhead. Just like this wasp who are intoxicated, but just by hearing the buzzing of another wasp, reach their home safely. Similarly, by hearing Harikatha from Sri Guru, we can be sure that we'll be reaching back home, back to Godhead in this one lifetime. Then there is another scene Lord Ram shows to Mother Sita. This has taken the attention of Lord Ram and Mother Sita completely. Mother Sita is amazed to see that the cubs of lion and elephant are playing together. She is so amazed because she has never heard anything like this, but she's seeing this in real. So then Lord Ram explains, he says, childhood is a phase of innocence. We are all very innocent. Nothing belongs to us. We are ready to share and we are happy being with everybody else. But with growing up, the egos also grow. And thus starts the competition. When the cubs are small, they are not worried about food because anyway the parents take care about the food. They are only concerned about is their pleasure. I should be happy. Then if I am happy with my friends, if he is an elephant, it doesn't matter. If he is a jackal, doesn't matter. If he is a dog, doesn't matter. Concern is pleasure. But as we grow up, the egos also start growing up. Then the need for food and security takes the first priority. Childhood is innocent, adulthood is insecure. Fear enters. And this insecurity and fear creates this mode of scarcity. And hence starts the survival of the mightiest. But in the same forest, there are sages who are focusing on the abundance inside. And hence, the scarcity of outside is not bothering them anywhere. They are so happy within themselves that they are least bothered that somebody else may take away what things they have in their vicinity. So these are the sages of the jungle who are staying in such ferocious environments, but still are satisfied and content because they are focusing on the abundance inside, not the scarcity outside. So these are the two examples which Lord Ram is showing Mother Sita. And that is why, just like the wasp followed his, the person who was sober, who knew the reality, who knew the place of where he has to reach. Similarly, Guru Padashra is also important because Guru is a representative of Lord Krishna. Guru knows that the jiva is under the arrest of the false ego. So what does the guru do? He just challenges the false ego by speaking about the glories of Lord Krishna. And what is the glories of Lord Krishna? It is nothing but the call of Lord Krishna for the jiva. When the jiva, he hears from the bona fide authority, he starts to realize his helpless condition. But still, even after hearing for such a long time, he has that doubt about the position, whether the Lord will be able, is in a position to help me. He is still doubtful about the intentions of the Lord. Does the Lord love me? Does the Lord care for me? Does he want me back? If so, then why am I suffering so much? So let's understand it by one example from Ramayana, Shri Sundar Kand. Here, Hanumanji reaches Lanka and he reaches the Ashok Vatika. He sees Ravana coming and tormenting Sita. And then Hanumanji is sitting on the Shimshupi tree and he's watching the event. So here the Acharyas compare Ravana to the false ego who has held the Jiva captive. Mata Sita is just like the Jiva who is under the captive. And Ravana, the false ego, is forcing the Jiva, Mother Sita, to reject and doubt the plans of Shri Ram. Ravana is saying, forget that Ram, he himself is in such a pathetic condition. How can he help you? You come to me, you be mine, and I'll give you the best of the pleasures. But at the same time, Hanumanji enters Lanka. Hanumanji is compared to Shri Guru, who wants to convince the Jiva that Shri Ram, Shri Krishna loves you and is ready to reclaim you. But before doing that, he has to be very cautious because he has to win the faith of the Jiva. And this story is about the same event. Hanumanji locates Mother Sita in Ashok Vatika. He sees the torture by Ravana, other guards there. Ravana leaves and the guards are torturing. And at the same time, Trijata comes there and reveals her dream. She says, I saw Lord Ram in white dress. And he comes and conquers over Sita and everybody is killed here in Lanka. But only those people who have taken shelter of Mother Sita are not killed. And that is where all the Rakshasis, they believe in Trijata and they surrender themselves to Mother Sita and they leave that place. But all the while for this 10 months, Mata Sita is so frustrated that she says, forget it all. Lord Ram is not coming. Ravan is too powerful. He'll not let me go. He'll not let me be reclaimed by Ram. And that is where she attempts to commit suicide. She takes her long hairs, she ties them around her neck and wants to bring that, tie that to another tree hanging, the branch of the tree that is hanging there and strangle herself. And Hanumanji sees this from top and is in panic. How to tell Sita that I have come here, and is intensely praying. Hanumanji is intensely praying, what to do, what to do. And all of a sudden, when she's trying to hang herself, Mother Sita sees all auspicious omens in her body. All the left side parts of her body are trembling. Her eyes are twitching. Her left hand is shaking. And in this, she stops for a while thinking, these are the same omens, auspicious omens, which I had seen when Lord Ram entered Mithilapuri to get married to me. And that she waits for some time. And she's thinking for some, and this is the time which Hanumanji takes. And he starts singing the glories of Lord Ram in a gentle and a soothing voice. His voice is so melodious. That it directly pierces the heart of Mother Sita. She is compelled to close her eyes when she hears that sound. She feels a strong and a deep connection to the voice. And she is drawn completely. Now, here, before all this, Hanumanji had to decide, is okay, I have to seek her attention to me and divert her from committing suicide. But how do I do that? She won't believe in me. Now there are three options. How to start speaking to Mother Sita. He thinks, I should choose Sanskrit because it is a Devanagari. But if I speak in Devanagari, Mother Sita will mistake me as Ravan. And Ravan has come as a monkey and he knows Devanagari and hence he is speaking. So he drops Sanskrit. Now what to do? He thinks I should be silent. But if he stays silent, she will not be able to maintain her body and she'll give up her body. So he won't be able to avoid that suicide attempt. Then it clicks to Hanumanji that if I speak in the local language of Lord Ram, which is the Avadhi Bhasha, which is today even spoken today, even in the UP section, Uttar Pradesh section. So this is the language which will touch the heart of Mother Sita. And this language is not known to Ravan. And that is where he starts speaking the glories of Lord Ram in a voice that almost captures the entire existence of Mata Sita. And when Mata Sita hears the voice of Hanumanji, she feels that this is not different from the voice of Lord Ram. Also, one amazing thing happens. When Hanumanji sees Mother Sita for the first time, she sees that she looks exactly like Lord Ram. Here, Mata Sita is thinking that this is the voice of Lord Ram. And when Hanumanji sees Mata Sita, he says she looks exactly like Ram. Why are both of them looking like Ram and feeling like Ram? Because both Mata Sita and Hanumanji are so deeply absorbed in the feelings, in the thoughts of Lord Ram, that to Mother Sita, Hanumanji's voice is just felt like that of Ram. And when Hanumanji sees Mother Sita, who is so deeply absorbed in thinking about Ram, he sees her exactly like Ram. Now, Hanumanji begins this katha sitting on the top of the tree. And the acharyas comment very nicely that this is the first time the Ram Katha is taking place in Lanka, and the speaker is sitting on top and the audience is sitting below. And hence, Lord Hanumanji has set this trend of the speaker speaking on an elevated seat and the audience are sitting below and hearing the Ram Katha. Now Hanumanji starts his Katha. He started right from the birth of Lord Shri Ram. He mentioned every minute detail about the birth of Lord Ram, which even Mother Sita didn't know. Then he described their wedding ceremony as if he was personally present there. He described every person's dress, what the person was speaking amongst themselves, the emotion that every person, everything in minute detail Hanumanji is explaining. And then he explains the exile of Lord Ram. And all of the entire praja is weeping. And in between, Hanumanji is crying. And Mother Sita is hearing him sniff like this. And when somebody cries, his nose starts watering and you sniff it. So Hanumanji's sniffles are being heard by Mother Sita. And all the past memories become fresh in the mind of Mother Sita. Now, this is the difficult phase. Now somebody may think that how come Lord Ram has to go in an exile? The Supreme Mother, Mata Sita, she has to walk barefoot in the jungles, on the thorns and on the pebbles. The one person who has never kept her foot. If you read Ramayana, Mother Kausalya, all the three mothers loved Mata Sita so much. That when Mata Sita used to keep her feet, because she was so tender, she was so soft, when she used to keep her feet on the ground, on the velvet that was put for her, even then her feet used to get cracked. So all the three mothers were in great anxiety what to do. For her to walk, there was a road that was made from the pollen grains, just so that Sita's feet don't get hurt. Can you imagine a road made up of the pollen? And even when Mother Sita was walking on the road of pollen, her feet used to get cracked. So they said, my dear daughter, don't go anywhere. We'll get all things here. That was the love all the three mothers were showering upon Mother Sita, who was going to be the next queen. And here, the next day, she is about to leave for the forest. There is one path which is filled with the pollen. And here is another path filled with thorns and stones and pebble. And this soft feet of Mother Sita are now going to walk this way for 14 years. Somebody may think, what is this? And this is the same exact doubt that comes in the mind of Sumantra. When Sumantra leaves Lord Ram in Sri Ranga Berpur, where our Guha Maharaj drops them on the other side of Ganga, Sumantra, the charioteer of Lord Dasharath, King Dasharath, he is asking Lord Ram, "My dear Lord Ram, I think following this dharma and religious duties and religious principle is nothing but a waste of time. It has not given anybody anything." He is boiling from within seeing the condition of Lord Ram, Mother Sita and Lakshmi. He says, "Lord, this is all useless. This is all bogus. I don't believe in following this dharmic principle. It has given nobody nothing." And he gives an example. He says, "My dear Lord, which tree survived the storms? You know, the one who are straight and tall fall off. But ones who are crooked, they always survive. So it is better in this life you be crooked. You should have taken the kingdom by force and not followed dharma at all." And it is where Lord Ramchandra is not chastising him, because he understands the feelings of Sumantra. He says, then he quotes the lives of five people: Maharaj Shibi, Maharaj Rantidev, Bali Maharaj, Harishchandra and the Dichi Rishi. He said that they were ready to follow dharma at any cost, even at the expense of their own lives. Lord Ram says, this pillar of dharma is based on four pillars: Tapa, Shaucha, Daya and Satya. Every single person's actions will either corrode it or make it rust proof. So choice is ours, whether by our actions we want to erode that pillar or we want to make it rust proof. And there Lord says, I'll keep on following the vows of dharma till the last moment. So this false ego is the thing that needs an explanation. Why is this happening to me? Why all others are enjoying and why I am suffering? It demands an explanation in every situation so that it can feel safe and secure, and then it can be able to move ahead in life. That is the nature of false ego. It will always create doubt. Why me? Why not him? Why not them? To feel safe and secure, it needs an explanation. To move ahead in life, it wants you to give an explanation. And that is where Vali's killing comes into picture. Vali, when he was shot from behind and he was about to die, he was requesting an explanation from Ram. His ego was so hurt that he was questioning dharma. Again here, Vali is questioning dharma. He said, "I am a warrior and I didn't expect or I didn't want myself to be killed like this. I wanted that respect of a Kshatriya, and you should have followed the code of conduct of a Kshatriya, my dear Lord Ram." But the question is, does dharma consider his actions lawful? Does Lord Ram consider his action lawful? No. Even he would have wanted the respect of a Kshatriya, but did his action match to that? No. But even then, Lord Ram knew that he is about to die and his ego has to be dissolved. Why? He gives an explanation, Lord gives an explanation to make things clear that who is a real warrior, what are the mistakes that you have committed. And when Vali understands his mistake, he accepts his mistake, that is the time his ego is dissolved. He lets go of all his feelings, negative feelings that he has for Sugriva. He forgives Sugriva. Not only he forgives Sugriva, but he hands over Tara and Angad in the custody of Sugriva. Can you imagine? This is the person who has taken the wife of Sugriva. He is now, his ego is so dissolved by the words and the clarity that Lord Ram has given him that he hands over the kingship, his wife, his son in the custody of Sugriva. But before that, false ego will demand, why this, why that, why not like this, why not like that? That is the nature of false ego, and hence it has to be dissolved, and it can be only dissolved by the words of Lord Ram. or his bona fide representatives who tell the message of Lord Ram in the form of Pyari Katha. And then Hanumanji speaks about Bharat visits to Chitrakoot and the life in Dandakaranya and Panchavati and all the 12 happy years that they are there. And Mother Sita is experiencing that joy by remembering and reliving all those events for the last 13 years. And then he describes the killing of Khara and Dushan. And then he describes the mistake of Mother Sita. What mistake did Mother Sita do? Hanumanji speaks about the golden deer which leaped in the life of Mother Sita. And on request of Mother Sita, she tells Ram, you go and fetch that deer for me. And then she hears the voice. And then she sends Lakshman and she gets abducted. So till here, Mother Sita was quite aware of the love that Lord Ram had for her. But now it was 10 months that had passed and there was no sign of Ram's arrival. She felt that Ram is not concerned about her. She felt that he is not going to rescue her. She'll be left in this situation for all life. So these are the natural feelings for a sadhaka. He is aware of his side of suffering. He feels that the Lord has no concern for me. And same is happening with Mother Sita. When Mother Sita hears about the golden deer, she feels remorse and she accepts her mistakes. And in her mind, she is silently begging forgiveness from Ram and Lakshman. She accepts her mistake. And didn't she knew this? She knew this because prior to entering, before leaving from Chitrakoot and coming to Panchavati, there is a beautiful story that takes place when they are moving from the bank of Mandakini Ganga. And that is where Mata Sita herself tells the story about the appearance of Mandakini Ganga. And Mandakini Ganga was brought by the tapasya of Mata Anusuya. And when Lord Ram hears that, not within one life, within a short period of time, this lady, Mata Anusuya, got Mandakini Ganga from the heavens for the rishis of Chitrakoot. He was amazed. He says, my God, my predecessors were not able to get Ganga for 3 generations. She got in one life within a short period of time. How is that? And again, Mata Sita says, don't be amazed, my Lord. With all these things attracts the envy of others. And Lord Ram says, how? Then she says, when Mata Anusuya got this, the 3 main principal goddesses, wives of Lord Shiva, Brahma and Lord Vishnu, got envious of Mata Anusuya. And that is where they test her chastity. So Lord is amazed. In one life, she is getting Ganga. That's great. And they reach their ashram. Atri Rishi's ashram and Anusuya Mata's ashram. And they have a great talk with them. They are constantly hearing from them. And Mata Anusuya says that I am so happy with you, Sita, that you have followed the vows of your Patni Vata Dharma. And I am so happy. I want to give you some benediction. She says, I don't need any benediction. Of course, if you would like to give me, please give me. But till the time I have Ram with me, I don't need any other benediction. And hearing this, Mata Anusuya is just so happy, so happy. She says, my dear daughter, if this is your mindset for this entire 14 years, I assure you that you will have a great time in service to Sri Ram. But the day you forget that you need anything other than Sri Ram, that will be the day of the greatest anxiety for you. And this is exact same mistake that she does for a while, thinking that this golden deer is attracting my mind more than Sri Ram. And she sends away Lord Ramchandra to fetch that deer. And that is where she has been caught by this false ego of Ravan. And now she is repenting her mistakes. And feeling that Sri Ram, does he thinks about me or is he going to rescue me? And here is the role of the guru that comes. Now, Hanumanji knew that Mata Sita is aware till the point she is abducted, what feelings Lord Ram had for her. But she is not aware of the other side. The other side was what? The feelings that Lord Ram had for her. And then she starts hearing about the intense separation and the grief that Lord Ram had to go and how he's crossing miles and miles just to meet Sugriva and make friendship with her. Sugriva, just to fetch Mother Sita. And this is where Mother Sita understands the intense emotions that Lord Ram had for her. Similarly, when we hear from our Guru Maharaj, we should be aware of the fact that he is repeating the words of the Supreme Lord and the feelings the Supreme Lord has for us. It is not only about Sita. It is absolutely not about Lord Ram rescuing Mother Sita. It is about every individual soul that he is hankering to get back to him. We are only aware of our part. Are we aware of the struggle that the Lord is going through to fetch us back? This is what the Guru Shri Hanumanji is describing to Mother Sita, and she is crying. Oh, that Lord Ram loves me so much. So every katha should increase this feeling that yes, Lord Ram loves me and he wants me back with him. We should understand the agony and the anguish that Lord Ram is feeling in separation for every single entity. Shri Ram is requesting and begging to all the trees and animals in the forest. He's mad in absence of Mother Sita. So many sacrifices were made for Mother Sita. Ram is walking miles and miles just to meet Sugriva and make alliances so that he can get back Sita. These are the sacrifices that the Lord is making for every individual, for every sadhaka. It is not for one Sita that millions of vanaras are sacrificed. Millions of creatures are sent over millions of lifetimes to fetch one single soul back home, back to Godhead. And when we realize that so much is done, then we will take Krishna consciousness as an immediate need and we'll take it very seriously. And then finally, after putting forth both the parts, part of Mother Sita and part of Lord Ram's separation and his feeling, then Mother Sita, who is so convinced that yes, my Lord is still interested in me and he surely fetch me back. Then Hanumanji reveals his identity and then he says, I am just a servant of Lord Ram and I have come here with the message of Lord Ram. And Valmiki said, hearing the glories of Shri Ram revived the desire of Mother Sita to be united with Shri Ram. Otherwise, she was completely taken away by grief. So grief will bring only doubt and will take our desire to connect back to Sita, which is nothing but a sign of our false ego saying, don't surrender to Krishna. But when we are hearing from the acharyas, the barrier is broken and the desire to be reunited with Ram is again established. And once this taste is of hearing about the glories of Lord is awakened by Mahat Seva, then you cannot stop hearing about Shri Ram. And that is what exactly happened. When Hanumanji comes before Mata Sita, she doubts him again. She says, you are Ravan. Hanumanji, at the same moment, he falls at the feet of Mother Sita. And as soon as he falls at the feet of Mother Sita, she understands he is not Ravan because Ravan can never fall at my feet. And then she says, if you are really the messenger of Lord Ram, then describe me the form of Lord Ram. And then Hanumanji describes the beautiful form of Lord Ram. Now, why did she do this? Because she was now just wanting to hear more about the glories of Lord Ram. And hence she tricks Hanumanji into glorifying the beautiful form of Lord Ram. And when Mata Sita is hearing the beautiful form of the Lord Ram, she is in intense samadhi and in intense absorption in the form of Lord Ram. Like a sage whose subtle body is completely dissolved by the pure and transcendental sound vibration of Harikatha. And Mata Sita is just pouring tears. Tears are coming from her. So the point is, false ego will only be dissolved when there is intense absorption like Mother Sita had in hearing about Shri Ram. 8.14, Krishna says, very beautiful shloka. Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabham partha nitya yuktasya yogina. He says, tasyaham sulabham partha. Oh, Arjuna, I am easily achievable to anyone and everyone. How? Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityasha. There has to be smaran. How? Which kind of smaran? Ananya smaran. The problem with us is when we are in difficulties, we seek so many shelters, either demigods or this or that. Krishna is saying, I am easily available to Ananya Cheta Smarata. One who is remembering me in an Ananya Bhav. Ananya means nobody else, only Lord Krishna. Until we reach the stage of Ananya Bhakti, in between, so many things have to be done to reach this stage. So many temptations will be coming. So we'll have to go through so many doubts. People will be doubting our intentions, just like we see in the case of Bharat. So many people doubted him. So many temptations to become a king. And then they reach the Bharatvaj Rishi's ashram and heavenly delights are waiting for him. But no, it was Bharata who overcame the temptation. How? Ananya Chetaha Satatam. He was thinking, if Lord Ram sees me in this condition, what will he think of me? That was his Ananya Chetaha Smarati. He was continuously remembering Lord Ram. And when doubts will haunt us, we need to move ahead. And so many people will be telling so many things, do this, do that. But no, what we have to do is, we have to come to this final conclusion that only Ananya Chetaha, no going anywhere else, only Lord Krishna. Because if you read the second part of Ramayana, there is a yajna conducted by Marut and all demigods are assembled. And at the same time, Ravana comes there because somebody tells him that all the demigods are sitting for a yajna. He comes there and as soon as Ravana comes, all demigods vanish. Indra takes the form of a peacock. Yamaraj takes the form of a crow. Varuna takes the form of a black swan. Kubera takes the form of a chameleon. They all hide in the forest. These are the demigods. That is why Krishna is saying, no need. Ananya Cheta, I will give you everything and anything that you want. Point is, get purified. Let's start dissolving this false ego by intensely absorbing ourselves in the Harikatha that has been given to us by our Vartavan Acharyas, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and the Gaudiya Acharyas. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for giving your valuable time and association, Prabhu, and for a nectarian class. So many pastimes, Prabhu, like the sober wasp going behind the behind the intoxicated wasp and the examples of how to overcome this false ego, always be in absorption with the Lord's name. So get purified so that we can take out that false ego and always be in the intense absorption of the Lord. Very nice pastimes and to churn on, and really, really thankful to you, Prabhu. Now, for devotees, if you have any questions and realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Danda.
I just want to have two questions. My first question is that the Ram Katha that you just told was, if I wanted to read that same katha in Bhagavatam or wherever, what book would I choose and where would I read it?
You can find this all the stories in one of our devotees, Shubhilas Prabhu. He has written, he has compiled it from many Acharya's Tika. and he has made 5 books from the 5 khandas of Ramayana, and you can find all the stories there.
In Ramayana, it's not in Bhagavatam?
No, Mataji, it is not from Bhagavatam, it is from Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana. Most of the part is covered from Valmiki Ramayana, and there are some commentaries by Sri Sampradaya Acharyas, and it is taken from
that. I go online and I write Valmiki Ramayana. I could read it on that.
Yeah, you can read it, but you'll need a translation because most of the shlokas are in Sanskrit. And but if you purchase this book online, you can read it at home. You can get a copy of yours.
So okay, and the facts that you told that Sita Mataji couldn't recognize Hanuman Ji, and then. She was finding some dosh on Ramji that he hasn't come to receive me for so many days. Has he forgotten me or something like that?
All these things? Pardon? Can you repeat the last part? Your voice is not audible.
All these feelings of her took place?
Yeah, of course. It is mentioned there in Ramayana.
Okay, and the other question I had was Krishna consciousness and speculation consciousness. So if someone is not Krishna consciousness and they're speculation consciousness, does speculation consciousness means Mayavadi philosophy? Let's say one part we are Krishna consciousness, some of the people. And let's say some of the people are speculators. So is that the speculators? Are they Mayavads? Anyone who speculate, are they Mayavads? That's what my question is.
Okay. What is your definition of Mayavad?
Impersonalism.
Okay. What else?
They don't have faith in God. They think that God is someone like who has no face, no activities, who has no being, into being. Like Krishna has a form. They feel that,
Okay. So, your understanding is right, but it's not complete. Mayavadi is somebody. There are 3 features of the Supreme Lord. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shaptyate. First is the impersonal feature of the Lord, which is called the Brahman effulgence. The tej that is coming out from the body of Lord Krishna is called the Brahman effulgence. That is first realization, which is a very preliminary realization. Preliminary in terms of God realization. Then second realization, how God looks is the Paramatma realization. The yogi who take the Ashtanga Yoga process, when they go inside through the breath, and then they are able to reach the Paramatma, they see the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And when they understand that there is somebody else apart from me who is sitting in the body, and that is the Supreme Lord in the form of Paramatma, then they reach the Paramatma realization. But the third and complete realization is the Bhagavan realization. That Lord is a person like us, and the entire creation is functioning through his energies only. So this realization the person gets. So that is the complete realization. Now who is a Mayavadi? The Mayavadi thinks that the I can become one with Lord. Just like the devotee has a desire to go back and serve the Lord in the spiritual world. But the Mayavadi thinks that I myself will become Krishna, or I'll merge in Krishna. I'll become one with Krishna. That means I will become Krishna myself. So that is the wrong understanding that the Mayavadis have. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. They are offenders of Lord Krishna because they themselves want to become Lord Krishna.
Okay so can I just ask here, anyone who is not Krishna consciousness, are they Mayavad?
No, not necessary, Mataji. See, speculation is also one way to understand. But the problem with speculation is that you may reach a wrong conclusion. And that is why Krishna says, don't speculate. Better is you have a proper bona fide guru and get the right knowledge from him. So even speculation in Sankhya is one way where you can use your intelligence and try and understand the nature and its working. But then since we have our own limitation and we may miss the path, that is why Krishna is saying, don't take that path. It's better to have a teacher who is already trained. And that is called as guru.
So then if, like, let's say that someone has already entered Krishna consciousness, become Krishna consciousness, and a senior devotee keeps calling that devotee Mayavad. So how to tell if one is actually Mayavad? Because if one is actually Mayavad, then they won't believe and serve in Krishna's deity and his form. That's
correct.
Mayavad. Someone
correct.
Who believes in Krishna and serves his form and his deity and his Vaishnava's devotees are not Mayavad. And so if a person, a senior devotee, continues to call that person a Mayavad, how to take it? In which terms to take this?
Okay. See, if somebody is a senior and if you're feeling that his words are not proper, then the best way to deal with the situation is you have to find a person who is at a superior position than the devotee who is making a comment like this. And we need to approach to a senior, and then we can put forth what we are feeling before him. And the seniors will take a due call on what to and ways in which to deal with that devotee. So that is the Vaishnav way we can deal with the situation. But yes, if you are not feeling comfortable, you should see, surely report it to your seniors and it will be surely taken care of.
So if someone is not a Mayavad and continuously to call Mayavad, isn't that Vaishnava Aparad?
Yes, it is Vaishnava Aparad. But the point is, we shouldn't be entering this cycle of committing Aparad from our side. And that is where we have to take help from seniors.
Yeah.
Because if both parties keep committing offenses, the issue will not be solved. And that will create a not a very palatable scene in the devotee community. So point is, when we are hearing Ramayana, we are hearing Mahabharata, we are hearing Bhagavat, the best approach is you take a step back and you approach seniors and let them handle, so that we are not affected by the Aparad mentality, and it doesn't take away our taste of hearing and chanting Krishna's name. That's the whole point.
Thank you for your answer.
Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. What a wonderful explanations you gave, Prabhu. I have one practical application question for you, Prabhuji. As you were saying, ahankara vimura atma kartaham yati manyate. The problem is, we hear it, we know it, that we are not the body, we know that we are the soul, we know that I'm not the doer. However, the internalize, you know, how do we internalize it? Every moment, every second. So when for example, we are grahastha, so we have to go to work. I understand it's different for the sadhus or the monks, but the grahastha has to go to work. They have to do the work. So in the morning, we can try and say that, oh Lord Krishna, make sure all my karmas and karma phalas goes to your feet. I'm not the doer, you are. However, when we are actually in the process, we become oblivious to it. We are not able to maintain that consciousness. What happens then and how do we tackle it?
Hare Krishna. The reason for us becoming oblivious is what? What do you feel? Why do you become oblivious?
No, the knowledge is there.
If somebody would ask you, correct. Knowledge is there, but still you become oblivious. What is it indicative of?
The consciousness is not 100% yet there. I mean, we are not.
Yes, that's one thing. And the other thing is, the desire to enjoy the fruits of our action is not completely gone away.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes us oblivious. Because we have been doing it for so long that it has become our second nature. Somewhere, Even if your Guru Maharaj would tell you, okay, from tomorrow onwards, all your salary comes to my account, how much would we be ready? Because we are not convinced that Krishna will take care of my family. And that is why we need some part of a salary. Similarly, why we become oblivious to the fact, in spite of knowing that everything has been done under the law of material nature, is because that desire to enjoy the fruits of our own action is not yet gone completely. So it will be seen to the extent it has gone. It is directly proportional. The more it goes away, every now and then you will come back and feel, oh no, this work is not for me and I'm just supposed to do it as a duty. And then you can feel the difference in your mindset. To the level, the desire to enjoy the fruits is gone. So for that, we have to come in the mindset of that these things are being done only as a duty. Just like Arjuna didn't want to fight the war. But Krishna says you do it as a duty. And that is how action, doing action becomes inaction. Even if you're acting, it will be taken as inaction because no fruit is generated. Because you are not doing it for yourself, you are doing it for Krishna. Is it okay, Mataji? Makes sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class and very nice explanation. So, you know, the forgetful of Krishna is the problem, cause of all problems. So, Prabhuji, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Antakale Chamamima Swaran Mukta Kalevanam. So at the time of death, we should remember Krishna. So so I was having doubt, what if I don't remember? So is that the means, you know, I was saying in my mind that even though I don't forget Krishna, I forget you, you don't forget me. But does Krishna forget us, or what is it, Prabhu? I still have doubt.
So you have doubt on yourself, or you have doubt on Krishna?
I don't know.
Okay, that's okay.
My question, you know.
Okay, so don't doubt yourself, because you are doing all that has been told by your Guru Maharaj. You are doing that. So you are clear from your part. And rest assured, Mataji, Krishna, even if we believe or don't believe, but the truth is, he is really very, very eager to get us back. Now, when this realization will come, I don't know. But what I have realized in last few years, he is too desperate. And that is why when our acharyas, they quote the example of Jagannath, that his eyes are big and that he only finds good things in his devotees, and he is Ranganath, he closes his eyes to all that. That's absolutely true. That person is in absolute love with each and every single jiva. He is too attached. He is too attached to everybody. Just because we cannot perceive that or understand, how can a person be attached to so many jivas at one time? But that's his capacity. We have a family of 2-3 people, and we have in ashram, we have 30 people, and you have 4-5 people, and you are so attached to every single person there. That's our capacity. 4-5 people is sufficient for us. His capacity is unlimited. He can love each and every person unlimitedly. That's his nature. That's the sad part of him. But he is in deep love with every single jiva. Mind it. And that's true. We may believe or we may not believe. That's our limitation. But it's for sure. Otherwise, why would a person run behind you in every species of life? What is it indicative? He just wants us to be with him. He is not interested in any other thing. He has done so much. He is doing so much and he'll keep doing so much. He doesn't expect anything because his is a pure love. And just we following our Guru Maharaj and doing what they are telling us is more than sufficient for him to get us back there. The only thing is we should be working on Pritir Mai Vasudeve. Somehow we should develop some love for him so that at the end we should feel that yes, I have to go back. Even if I am not qualified, but I want to go back. So once that comes in, things are done. And which you already are doing. So you need not bother from your side also and from Lord Krishna's side. He loves us, that is for sure.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, what a wonderful answer, Prabhuji. We can actually feel that you are so convinced, and because of your conviction, we also should be convinced that that's true. Krishna, he is running behind us in any species of life. Such a beautiful answer and very beautiful class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Just very grateful for your association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very beautiful class. It's always so wonderful when you give class for us.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your points about how important devotee association is to help us in our faith and how important it is to dissolve the subtle body. And I even really love the way that when you spoke of us creating karma, you spoke of it as creating a new body for ourselves. And it gave me a different way to look at it, and it made it more kind of obvious in my mind, you know, that that's what we're doing when we're creating the karma, we're creating new bodies for ourselves. So that was really, really wonderful. I love the wasp example that you gave from Ramayana. I hadn't really heard that example before, and the way that you gave it was, you know, again, I could see it happening in my mind and it made such an impact. And, you know, when you said focus on abundance inside rather than scarcity outside, that was so beautiful. Just such a good reminder. And the whole class, I mean, everything you said was just so precious and your answers just now to the questions that were given were just so beautiful. So thank you so, so very much. And please give more classes in English.
We are servants of Shama Gauri Mataji, so whenever she calls, we are there for the seva. And I'm so grateful to all of you devotees who come every single day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And best part from all of you is that you don't see who the speaker is. He may be as unqualified as me or as highly qualified as His Holiness Rahanav Yogendra Swami Maharaj. I heard Maharaj's class, very beautiful class, such wonderful kirtan. You all are so enthusiastic. So that's what we are learning from all of you. Thank you to each and every single devotee. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Your classes are such that we cannot even take off our attention even for a minute. Otherwise, we'll miss the nectar in each sentence. So you pack it with so much of information, realization, practical tips, stories, and everything, Prabhuji. So definitely, your classes are something that we look forward to. Thank you so
Hare
much.
Krishna. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mata. Hare Krishna.
thank you, Prabhuji, for a very nice class. And I like to hear it again. So I'm going to hear the recording again. So then I can
thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I want to say, dear Prabhu, please set my obeisances. I'll go to the Prabhupada. Yesterday, there was so much nectar flowing on all the wonderful lectures about Lord Ramachandra. But in between, I was thinking I wanted to hear your class, the last class you gave about the key was just to be satisfied. And then this class, you were here today, and I was so ecstatic to see that you were going to be giving class. Every time I listen to you, I feel like it's like a light going in my heart, and it's just awakening what Prabhupada wants me to be totally convinced of. And I'm just so appreciative of you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, I have a question regarding, you know, because in today's lecture also you mentioned that once a devotee can attend Krishna only once he reaches the stage of prema, right? Pure love of God. So how do we understand, Prabhuji, if someone who is not has not reached the stage of prema, if he is still in the stage of bhava or ruchi or ashakti, Ashakti and all those stages. So how we can understand, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhuji, as per the criteria what Rishabh Dev is saying, that's the protocol that has been set by the Supreme Lord, that you have to achieve that stage of prema. But if you see the population, general population in Kali Yuga, to reach that stage is really very difficult. So that is where Gaur Nithai comes in picture, and they say that just follow the acharyas, what they are saying. And if you follow the acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, chant 16 round, follow your four regulatory principles and don't offend devotees. I will take you back. Even if Krishna says this is the criteria, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, I have my criteria, I'll tell Krishna. But these are the criteria that you have to meet. Because love for Krishna is already there, Prabhuji. We don't have to do anything new. It is just to be uncovered. And the uncovering procedure is what we call pure devotional service. That's the way. But that love is already there.
Yes.
So by following that process, that automatically the covering will be taken off and you can feel and experience that love. So to remove the covering is, it doesn't take a second for Krishna to remove the covering. But yes, when he will do this is only when the acharyas recommend, Radharani recommend that, please give that love back to him so that he can serve you as he was doing initially.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was such a wonderful answer. Thank you so much once again. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is she the host?
Yes.
Oh.
Anybody has any other questions, Prabhuji and Mataji? If no one has any further questions, we can end the call. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this so enlightened class and nectarian class with full of past tense and realizations and nice practical applications, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha
Kalpata Rubhyasya Kripa Siddhubhya Nidhubhya Patita Namo 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 Krishnavindhi Ki Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai Bhagavatam Ki Jai Kesu Kumar Gaura Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you Prabhuji. Krishna.